part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Thursday edition of this show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. And if you don't know by now, we are powered by SID Media. It is the second and final hour of the show, and we are grateful that you decided to still stick with us this evening. It is a Thursday, and that means we do Shapeshifters, a really, really important segment of this particular show. And dare I say, this entire radio station, Shapeshifters, everyone waits for Shapeshifters, and for a good reason. And thank you for waiting. We really love it. But it is a Thursday. It is Shapeshifters today. And my Shapeshifter today is Octavia Ephraim, who is a transformational image coach and Enneagram practitioner. Okay, I'd like to know a little bit about that one. She's a mindset coach and also a Mrs. SA semi-finalist. I don't think it gets better than that. But anyways, let me pull myself towards myself, right? She joins us this evening then to let us in on some of the lessons that she's learned throughout her own life, in the hopes that we can inspire, you know, and reach out to especially young people as well, who are also gunning for their own unique destiny in this world. And she's joining us this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Buti. Thank you so much for having me. Good evening to your viewers as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. Thanks for giving us your time. Are you well?
I am well, thanks. Thank you so much.
Ah, fantastic. Really, really appreciate you. I don't even know where to start, right? I don't even know where to start. But I want to start with this one, man, before we get into a little bit of our talk today. How do I pronounce this? Is it Enneagram practitioner?
Enneagram practitioner.
Oh, look at that. Okay, what's an Enneagram practitioner?
Enneagram, yes.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you've done your homework.
You mentioned
things that I didn't think you know.
Look,
you know?
I've got you, Mona. I've got you behind. Everywhere I've got you. Okay, what does an Enneagram practitioner do?
Bujam, you've mentioned that I am an image consultant.
Yes.
When I started coaching my clients,
yeah,
I realized the need just beyond the beauty.
Yeah.
So the vision for my practice is to truly empower clients to flourish in all areas of life, right?
Okay.
So the personal development coaching pillar was introduced based on that.
Okay.
I don't want my clients to come to my practice and just refocus on outer beauty,
yeah,
and that's it. So
yeah,
For the inner beauty, I use the Map for Life methodology. We do your Wheel of Life assessment. And obviously, the Enneagram coaching, it goes even beyond that. What I love about the Enneagram, it looks at the holistic behavior of why do you excel? Why don't you excel? And above all, I'm sure you've seen the challenges of mental health.
Yes.
It's so loud out there. So in the Enneagram coaching, we also have a pillar where we really focus on mental resilience. It's a beautiful journey when we go through that holistic coaching. And of course, the celebration is when you look good from outside. So when you look good inside, you just flourish outside.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely. It starts on the inside, right? And then it almost shows itself on the outside. And which then makes me, and I think it makes the whole thing that you do quite holistic, because we live in a world where we are judged on the outward beauty, and we spend so much. And I think, if I'm not wrong, the image or, you know, cosmetics industry is billions and billions of rands, because we buy from a toner to face scrub to candy. There's also the problems inside.
Absolutely. Remember, you can be, it doesn't matter how much beautiful you are outside.
Yeah,
if your confidence is not there, you will get an opportunity, e.g., to present yourself in the boardroom.
Yeah.
You look stunning, but the confidence is not there. You would miss the opportunity.
Definitely.
Hence, we say Start from the inner beauty, and then trust me, even if you don't have the expensive clothes, but if you are beautiful, you've got that confidence inside, trust me, you will flourish and knock in all the doors and be able to showcase your brand.
Definitely. Okay, let's go back. Where were you born? You know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? What was it like?
Awesome. But I was born in Tsakane.
Tsakane, okay.
In 1973. Tsakane is the East Rand.
East Rand, yeah.
And then I grew up between Tsakane and Dundonald. So I've got, I'm a city and rural girl.
Okay.
So my parents, when they got divorced, we went to stay with our grandparents when they moved to Dundonald, you know.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of both. I remember when we moved to Dundonald rural from the city, at first I was really angry, but I'm grateful today of, you know, the incredible basics of lives that life that I you know, one experienced in the rural. And then I am the eldest at home with two siblings from my mother's side, and then four siblings from my father's side. I am married, been married for 30 years, and I've got two precious children, one grandchild, and then I have 15 years corporate experience.
Sure.
15 years plus. And in 2011, I left corporate to start to launch my image consulting business that also has the personal development coaching pillar.
Yeah.
Over and above that, I love giving back to communities.
Sure.
And I think that that's another seed that, you know, it was planted by my grandparents.
Yeah.
I'm a former trauma counselor for Sinoville Crisis Center.
Sure.
I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro for the End Human Trafficking Project.
Sure.
Yes. And I'm an ambassador for 67 Blankets for Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
I am also an ambassador for Child Welfare Tswane. You've also mentioned one of the recent titles that is also dear to my heart, the finalist for Miss South Africa 2024.
Are you sure you're not 16? Are you sure you're not 16 years old? Sure.
Thank God.
Sounds like you're 16 doing all of these things and still, and I think, pursuing even more as well, because my producer told me, hey, when that's not the end, there's still a whole lot more. It sounds like you're 16. Where do you get all the time and the energy to be chasing all these things?
We thank God. I that's why I'm saying I'm so grateful to my grandparents. My grandparents were both community leaders, you know, so at home, being involved in community, it was like non-negotiable. So these things, when we speak about purpose, my grandmother has always been igniting purpose in people's lives. You know what I mean? So I've always, at a very young age, I mean, even in high school, I'm talking to my granddaughter now and then and say, you're going to play sports.
Yes.
Your grandmother played for sports in school. She was in debate. I was very active at school as well, you know. So growing up, these other things that I do, it was sort of a second nature because I grew up, you know, doing that. And again, being in alignment, I think that's why I so love personal development coaching. When you are in alignment, Buti, it feels like you're doing a lot, but everything that you do, one way or the other, in alignment, it complements the next pillar, the next pillar, the next pillar.
Yeah.
You know, and at a young age as well, I've learned to know when to say no and also, you know, be busy with things that are in alignment again, if I can put it that way. And having coaches and, again, having a dream team, you know, we can speak about all these beautiful things that Octavia does.
Yeah.
I'm just the face of Octavia, but behind the scenes, there's a dream team that really helped me to spread my wings, you know?
Look at that. Okay. Dan Donald. It's in the Gert Sibande, right? In Mpumalanga,
oh,
if I'm not wrong.
Excuse me, you know Dan Donald yesterday.
I've done quite a bit of work in Mpumalanga, so I know quite a bit of these places in Mpumalanga. As a person who comes from there, what were some of the challenges that you could see, either socioeconomic challenges or some or other challenges related to, I suppose, the very cruel system we come from? But what were some of the challenges there?
Of course, Budwami, the quality of education. You know, coming from rural and being in the cities. I mean, I'll make an example.
Yes.
I've always been excelling.
Yeah.
But when I got to corporate, it was always the issue of, I've got this incredible idea that I want to share in the boardroom. Mm. But someone who went to Pretoria Girls High and someone who went to Dundonald High School, obviously when you come to the boardroom, there's going to be a difference there. You know what
Definitely.
I mean? I mean, if we have to do the PowerPoint presentation, my kids started learning computer at a young age.
Yes.
I only started knowing about computer when I started working in corporate, you know?
Exactly.
So the quality of education was an issue. I think it still is. And then teenage pregnancy was also a big thing, you know.
Yeah.
And most boys will also smoke ibenzin.
Yes.
And the high rate of rape, it was heartbreaking. And obviously in rural as well, but now that I'm involved with End Human Trafficking Project, when you look at different faces of human trafficking, there's organ harvesting, you know.
Ooh.
So in rural, in Dundonald, then now and then we would hear, oh, there's a body found there.
Eish.
There's no neck, there's no arm,
Eish.
There's no don, you know. So those were the really the top four or five things that I can mention top of my head.
Yeah. And how have those things kind of shaped the person that you are? And I mean, you're already speaking about how you are getting involved in such activism as well. Is it because of coming from that background and having a fuller understanding of the impact of how bad those things can be? So have those driven you to be who you are today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when I completed matric, my parents could not afford to take us to school, right?
Yes.
I remember saying to my grandmother, Granny, I'm going to go to Emelo. Our town is Emelo in Dundonald.
Yes,
I'm going to go to Emelo and look for a job and make sure, but you know what, I don't fall victim of the things that are happening here. I really want out of here.
Mm.
And I left. And my first job was in Mokols. I completed my matric in 1994. 1995, I went to look for a job, you know. And I think also my grandparents, being community leaders in the area, they're all always active. I mean, my grandfather was the second right man of the chief.
Okay.
Yeah. So finding ways to help to the community. For instance, I think their yard, it's over 1 hectare.
Yeah.
Or poverty as well is there. Poverty is there as well.
Yes.
Their yard is 1 hectare, over 1 hectare.
Yeah.
And we used to plant pretty more than 6-7 types of vegetables.
Yes.
And when there's time for harvesting, we will take, you know, to give to our neighbors and so on. There was always that thing, as if, you know, sort of now we know that it's a feeding scheme. And then every Wednesday we will cook big pots and so on. People will just come, Gasbanyoni, let's go. And, you know, there was always that thing. And obviously my grandmother will bring in the youngsters. We talk about what does it mean, ukhlala ezintombi. I mean, as a young girl, how to make sure you look after yourself so that you don't get kids at a young age.
Yeah.
And so those activities, and trust me, we did not see them as a big thing then. I mean, for instance, another one, my grandmother was a midwife as well.
Okay.
I think there's over 100 kids that were born at my grandmother's place. And only now that I'm an adult, I'm realizing how big that was. Because, I mean, in Dundonald, the hospital was over 40 kilometers away. And when they call an ambulance, by the time they come, it's either the mother is passed on or the baby has passed on. But for some reason, when my grandmother came and the midwife, there's so many deaths that were prevented.
Yeah,
I mean, even nurses from the clinic, they will tell them, oh, the clinic is full. Please go to Kokosina. They used to call it Kokosina. You know what I mean? So that, I remember, was listening to, I think 3 years ago, they were honoring the nurses and the midwife. And I, for some reason, I got to the keynote by default, you know, that, you know, was speaking there. And when they were sharing the impact of midwives, especially in rural, that was my aha moment.
Yeah.
I mean, as we speak, God's willing, I would really love to have a midwife academy in Dundonald in honor of my grandmother, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. It seems like you took those and you turned them into positives in your own life, and you didn't allow them to sort of dampen you or you know, because I think the environment plays a very critical role in who we become as we grow older. And you can either allow the environment to, you know, kind of swallow you from the potential that you possibly could be, or you could rise above the situation and say, I understand, I grew up from a underprivileged background, or whatever the case might be, and I think there is an opportunity for me to become better, right? So in your schooling life, what was the motivation to not give up?
Other than my grandparents that were passionate about education, even my mother, during her time, she actually completed JC. Apparently at that time, JC was a big thing,
yes.
And she completed JC, but she's always been really passionate about education, and that we do well, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, now and then when I talk about my career, for the longest time, my mom wanted me to study law, right? And then again, growing up in rural, I thought law has to do with criminals, and I never wanted to work with criminals. How do I defend someone knowing that, you know what, they've done wrong? You know what I mean? And I packed it there. And it's funny, now that I'm, you know, being involved with end human trafficking, you know, I've reread that for my LLB. I eventually I'd love to, you know, complete my LLB. So other than my grandparents and my mom, I've always loved good things, Putwami, you know.
I see.
So I believed, you know, studying and get out of this place, rural, and I'm going to study, I'm going to be this and that, and I'm going to live a good life, you know. And then over and again, of course, how I grew up will take me back to community, and I'm going to help people that were being helped by Granny, where she cannot help them, and then I can be able, you know, to sponsor some of the projects, you know. So that was the motive behind everything. I really wanted to have a good lifestyle. For instance, I always said in high school already, Granny, I'm gonna buy a car, I'm gonna have a house in town, and I'm gonna, you know, pick you up to visit you and so on. And I remember the first day when I bought the car, I fetched my grandmother, you know, to come back to Pretoria to show her, you know, where we are and so on. When we got home, she was in tears. But she was like, do you realize when you were growing up, this is what you said to me? I cannot believe, you know, you were driving me from Edondoni to here. It was so beautiful to also hear my grandmother to say some of my dreams that I mentioned at the young age. It's happening and she's still alive. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. And did you want to always get into image consulting? I know that you went and studied image and etiquette consulting, for example. I'm told at Colorworks International. Is that something that you've always wanted to do?
I've been doing it, but I didn't know what image consulting is. I've started pageantry at 13, and I will redesign my dresses and how I used to dress. I mean, I will buy from ordinary stores, but how I will package the garments together, the mix and match together. people did not even believe that I'm buying from ordinary stores. They thought I'm buying from boutique, you know. And people, when they go for special occasions, they would come and say, Octavia, please come help me buy this and that. So I've been doing, it's funny, when I was doing my training with Colorworks International, this is what I said in the class. Trust me, 70% of this, it's what I've been doing.
Yes,
how I got to know that there's a profession called image consulting. I was still with the bank then, and I was just recently been appointed as a manager.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, that personal development growth for the managers, they took us to different courses.
Yeah.
One of the course was personal branding.
Yeah.
In the personal branding course, there was an image consultant that spoke about image. For them, I was sobbing half of the class. I was like, if I knew there was this, I could have done this 100 years ago, you know? So look at God. I think one of the things that I'm passionate about now, that I really want to go back home where I grew up, obviously giving back, but work a lot with youth. One of the things that I'm so passionate about is to give career coaching for the youngsters in the rural area, because I'm looking at my career growth, Putuam, there are things that I feel if I knew 10 years, 15 years ago, or when I was still in high school. I mean, even for instance, even with my studies, there was a time literally for 7 years, I've been studying every year, but every year it's something new. Every year it's something new, because I realized, this is not a one. This is not what I want. This is not what I want. I mean, that 7 years, I could have been Dr. Octavia Ephraim now, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it really sounds like you are on that journey as well. I mean, you said you're doing your law, right?
No, God's willing, I'd really want to really finish my LLB, go to LLM and LLD eventually.
Look at that. And we'll be here to talk about the journey with you as well. So when we knock on your door the second time, please don't close it. Don't shut it, because we want to walk with you and just get a sense of that journey as you go through that as well. So really appreciate it.
And if my husband was listening, or when he listens, he's gonna be jumping, because he's been saying, Sudi, you could have been now doing your LLM. Just do this thing,
like Nike would normally say. Just do this thing, right? From what I'm getting with the training at the bank, right, and all those sort of stuff, you then pivoted to start your own, which is like now almost 13 years ago and all that. Take us through that journey. What has that journey been like?
When I was still in the bank, excellence has always been the middle name in my grandparents' place. And they model it anyway. And they did it so gracefully, in such a way that it's just become so spontaneously to want to excel. For instance, I shared earlier that my first job was at Morkels in 1995. And then 1998, we moved to Pretoria. I was married already when we moved to Pretoria. Yeah. And I joined First National Trust as just a mayor clerk. And from First National Bank, I worked until 2004, I moved to Absa Trust. I was still in my youth. And in Absa Trust, I held five positions every second year, which when you incorporate in our times, and especially the department that I was in, it was a specialized department, deceased estate administration. So every second year, I would move to, you know, next position. For instance, when I became a manager, I was 34. It was a big thing then in our times to be in that department and be the youth specialized department youth. And I used to say, I'm not a BEE affirmative action candidate. Yes, I may be, but my work spoke for itself, you know?
Yes, definitely.
So, Absolutely. So I've always been selling. Like I said, I started pageantry at a young age. Pageantry is a very expensive sport, so I must say. So at the young age, I started selling clothes. I used to sell skincare products and so on. So selling as well. I mean, even with my grandparents when we were still in high school, we used to sell amagwinya. We used to sell so many things, you know, eskolweni. So at school, so selling has always been, entrepreneurship has always been part of us, you know. And like I say, when I became a manager, I'm forever grateful to APSA. APSA took me to Gordon Business Institute of Science, you know. So I'm forever grateful. They invested so much in me when, you know, when I was appointed as a leader. And this is when I realized also part of being at Gibbs was we had a personal development coach. We used to have coaching conversation with my coach, and for some reason it felt like God is telling me, this is what I want you to do. You know, when you see somebody doing something and you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, when are you starting to do that as well? For me, I knew definitely eventually I'll end up being full-time entrepreneur. But I think becoming a manager accelerated my journey of launching the image consulting and personal development coaching. It's something that I did not plan. It just literally being obedient to the Holy Spirit that says, this is what I want you to do. And how God has confirmed that, the caliber of the clients that I ended up work with. But I'm like, you say, one day I'd love to be Dr. Octavia Ephraim. But I do have, you know, my aha moment. There was a time when it was so tough in business. It's not easy, but when I'm leaving corporate and starting your own business, I always say to people, have a proper exit strategy. I did not have one. I was like obedient and excitement. I'm so grateful my husband is here, could close the gap where I am unable to provide financially. If it wasn't him, I could have gone back to corporate. You know? I remember there was a time I was wrestling with God and say, God, do you really want me to do this? I want to go back to corporate, you know? And he literally brought somebody that was started her PhD and she left it for years. She would start, stop. But with our coaching, I remember when she was confirmed that, hey, you will be graduating for a PhD. She sent me the message. She said, Octavia, if it wasn't you, I don't think I would have been. And I can only say it is God. You know, there are instances where, like I say, where God, when God shows you your purpose, It's a spiritual voice. That's why it's so important for us to have that special relationship with the Lord. Because the spiritual voice, it's not always loud. It's not what we see with our naked eyes, you know. But God had a way. And sometimes I'll prepare for a client. But for somehow, the Holy Spirit has a way to just take over, and you could feel that this is a testimony that God was in this. Another one that because we have a Christian community here. Another confirmation when I wanted to quit, I had a male client. I work with both female and male. I had a male client that came for another case, but in our conversation, you know what? It came out that, you know, He's not an Adventist, but from another, you know, faith community. He says, I have been an elder in my church, but I left for so many years because of da-da-da-da-da. And we've changed in, remember I'm using the Wheel of Life methodology to say, for you, your wheel has to be round. You need to strive to flourish emotionally, financially, spiritually, you name it. And when we look at your wheel of life, you know, there's so many areas that say all are not working, but we cannot start with all. Let's look at your top three that is preventing you to move to the next level. And one of his top three was really the spiritual part, that is especially his eldership is affecting him in such a way that to cut the long story short, 6 months later, he sends me a message. He says, You're not going to believe I went to church today, and he has not been to church for over 6 years, you know? And those are the testimonies that now and then God will remind you that you are at the right place.
Yes.
You are at the right place.
Yes.
And that is why there's a saying that if you don't leave your purpose, someone out there that was supposed to be served by you is suffering because of you not leaving your purpose.
Now that's very heavy. Well, it is encouraging at the same time, right, to say let's pursue our purpose and ask God to reveal our purpose. But that's really heavy if you come to think about it, from the fact that there is a saying that the richest place in the world is actually in the grave, because the dreams, the purpose, the could have, I should have, I didn't, I was afraid, are stuck in there. And then there's a plethora of people that actually were waiting for you to leave your purpose, for their purpose to be unleashed as well in their life. And now we die and leave other people that were connected to us in some or other way according to God's design, and we didn't live our purpose.
I think once we understand that,
You
start showing up, even if
you
know what, you've got every reason not to show up. It becomes so heavy on your shoulders knowing that, you know what, I don't have a privilege of not to do certain things, you know. And in most cases, Budwam, I've seen it in my life. God is waiting for us to make that one step. Be faithful in making that one step. Trust me, he always shows up at the right time.
And we are afraid to take that very, very first step, which is the most crucial one, because we are going into a future you don't know. So you need to have faith in him and take that first step and let him unlock all the doors that you know are connected to you exercising your faith in a way. Ma'am, what would you say is the one challenge you face so far in your career?
In my career, corporate or entrepreneur? Corporate. I love that question there. And being passionate about also empowering myself, because you can't talk, you can't just talk the talk. You must walk the talk as well, right?
Definitely.
So myself, now and then, you know, I take courses, you know, just for self-development, empowerment. And recently, last year, I attended a Cherie Blair Foundation for Women Road to Leadership. It was an honor to be accepted. It's also part of GIPS program. They partnered with Cherie Blair Foundation. And you had to motivate to be accepted in that program. And one of the module we attended was about advocacy. For the first time after the whole session, the lecture, she allowed us to just talk generically about, you know, the challenges that we have, where we want to be, about any thorns in your life that will prevent you to be a fruitful leader that transforms life, right?
For the first time,
I literally was in tears in front of the group leaders. And I said to them, you know, I've been pushing the next position in corporate. And I didn't realize the thorn of being bullied in the corporate, how deep it was. I never took time to mourn. And you know, for some reason, my husband, for many times, he used to say, Sudi, I know you want to be an entrepreneur, but I think you left corporate because you were tired of fighting. And I don't do well, Budwam, where they strive. I really don't do well. You know, there are times where you realize, okay, this is a challenge, or I'm fighting here, or I'm being bullied here. And I said to them at the end of the session, I said, you know, this advocacy module, I wish I got it when I was still in corporate, because at some point I felt like I didn't have tools of how to advocate for my personal brand and my professional brand, you know.
Yes,
so
yes.
One of the coaching that I do informally, so it's to empower youngsters that are come across with that are in corporate and say it is not easy in corporate, but you can be fruitful and joyful as long as you know how to advocate for yourself, not to fight in the boardroom. I think I was fighting for a long time, but instead of advocating for myself, because the bullying was rife.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's pretty intense. But I think from where you are now, with the benefit of hindsight, perhaps there were lessons that you've learned throughout all of those moments as well, which are not palatable, as I'm saying. But thank you so much for that as well. Let's get now into money as we draw towards the close, right? We are a business show, and money is a very important thing to us. I was talking to someone earlier on, and they were saying to me, I hope I can mention numbers on this show. I was like, this is the only show in this entire radio station where numbers mean something, you know. So we are a business show, and we are a money show. Let's talk about money then. How would you describe your relationship with money? Mom Octava, can you hear me? Hi, Octava, can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
Ah, yes, fantastic. I was saying that as we draw towards the close, let's talk about money. How would you describe your relationship with money?
I missed that question. Sorry, breaking.
Okay, let me do this. Let me call you again, right? Let me call you just again right now, because I think we are losing you there a little bit. Okay, it seems like we are losing Octava. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to call her again to make sure that we get a better line with her there, because I really want to know how she deals with money. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Ah, fantastic. I was saying that as we draw towards the close, how would you describe your relationship with money?
The relationship with money is about obeying God, how He instructs you.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I must say, I'm now that I'm old, you know, and also experiencing being a grandparent.
Yeah.
I just realized I was raised in a very almost all round family.
Nice.
For instance, my mom, at a young age, we had BOP account. I don't know if you know about BOP accounts.
Yes.
We had BOP accounts already, started saving at a young age.
Mm.
But obviously, as you grow wiser, there are few money decisions, bad money decisions, mistakes that I've made.
Yes.
And I can safely say, that's why I'm saying obey God. Literally, I'm in the space where even if I go to buy grocery, I'm like, Lord, I have 1,000.
Yeah.
How would you like me to steward it? You know, there was a time where I was so faithful with money.
Mm.
I was not rich, but I would have money to give back to the community, money to bless my family, money to for Thanksgiving at church, money for tithing, you know, that all around biblical principles of how we steward our money.
Mm.
And I think I'm in a space where I'm really content. And as I grow wiser, I realize money is really not about being rich, but how do you steward the resources that God has blessed you with?
Mm.
Are they a blessing to you only, or are they a blessing to also those around you?
Mm.
For instance, I'll make an example with my kids to say, every now from when they were young, every now and then we will, you know, sprinkle in our wardrobes and give back to the community.
Yes.
And I'll make a joke and say, God is going to, my son will want a specific takis or jackets, you know.
Yeah.
Then they'll say, God will want to bless you, but your wardrobe is full of things that you're not using.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've got a beautiful, healthy relationship with money. thankful to my parents, and it's something that we've taken over to the children as well. But I can safely say along the way, there are times where one will take a left turn instead of right turn. When we start thinking, this is my money, and then you just prioritize other things and God becomes the last, then definitely you would be held accountable.
Yeah, definitely. And what would be your one advice to young people about money?
Always pray for divine strategy on how to use money, not just how to use money, but how to get money as well. I'll make an example. As a business person, it's been so hard in business.
Yeah.
And somebody will come and, you know, will offer something that will give you exactly what you're looking for.
Yes.
But it's not ethical way of getting money.
That's very true.
And this is where now the divine strategy, values and being grounded in the Lord, what you say yes to. You might get this now, but the short term and how it's going to be troubling your soul, it is not worth it.
Yeah.
And then also, as somebody who is married, as somebody who's a family person, there was a time we had a beautiful training contract. I was supposed to be part of it, but it was a roadshow for all provinces, meaning I was going to be in 12 months. I was going to be home 4 times only.
Sure.
I mean, as a married somebody, as somebody who has kids, for me, it was not even negotiable. Yeah. I was like, it was gonna pay good money.
Good money,
but I still want to enjoy the money with my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always say, Budwam, in some things we don't have to tempt God and say the devil has done this and that. Mm-mm. You know. Mm-mm. Hence, always, and things that are too good to be true, be mindful of those. But if you're grounded in the Lord, you're grounded in your values, you consult, trust me, like I say, if I look back, I lost money along the way. And where I have lost money, where I've made decision, not just money, but some decision can cost you money, you know. So pray for the divine strategy to make decisions today that will benefit you tomorrow, you know.
Definitely.
And when you have that, trust me, God has a way of guiding our steps.
Yeah.
God has a way of guiding our steps.
Oh,
and there are deals that are good to be true. Say no to them, and God will reward your faithfulness.
I love that God will reward your faith. You've done so much, and you've achieved so much in your life. You've gone after your dreams. What's the next 10 years looking like?
Oh, but the next 10 years will definitely be, you heard me speaking about the beautiful journey that I had at Absa Trust.
Yeah.
I still get clients that have drafted their last will and testament in 2010 already. So the vision with my LLB as well, I've started behind the scenes working on turning my experience into profit.
Yeah.
I would love to open my deceased estate administration firm that goes with the academy, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, I'd love to complete my LLB and the other big project that I think the seed was planted by God. He's going to do it. I'm just going to be obedient. Like I said to you, I really want to open the midwife academy in Dundonald in memory of my grandmother.
Oh, beautiful.
And over and above that, the organizations that I've had an honor to collaborate with, I will continue, you know, support them as God leads. As God leads.
Lovely. We are out of time, but I want to ask this one. What advice would you give to your younger self with the benefit of hindsight now?
Sure. You know, when I entered the Mrs. South Africa, I wrote a motto that says, it addresses exactly what you're saying, Putuan. The motto, it says, Octavia, as you evolve, no matter where you are in life or what role you play, strive to stay true to your values. Nature, your diverse passions. Yo, Budwam, I've got
Sure.
diverse passions, man.
And that's
Nature,
beautiful.
the diverse passions and
Sure.
purpose. And
Yeah.
then it goes on to say, Octavia, this will inspire you to live a more meaningful and fulfilled life
Sure.
and be fruitful. Above all, embrace your unique journey in
Yeah.
living your purpose. You
All
know, there
right.
are instances, Budwam, where I feel like Unkulunkulu is just he's taking hundreds to the north, but me not
Yeah.
just alone. He's
Sure.
taking me to the south, you
Sure.
know. So,
Sure.
as I grow wiser and growing wiser spiritually as well, I'm accepting that I'm a born leader. I've got diverse passions and my journey is unique. So it's important for me to embrace that. As long as I know that what I'm doing, it's a direction from the
Yeah.
Lord, then I'm going to be obedient.
Then you're going to be obedient. There are young people, particularly black female, black women. What's your message to them? We live in a very tough world where they are systematically marginalized. It's almost like being a woman, especially in South Africa, is an extreme sport on its own with the different gender-based violence and all this sort of stuff. And you find that young women find, you know, points of reference for purpose, for growth, for growing, going after their dreams and all that. What would you say to them?
You know, at times mentorship was not as big as it is like now. Like you say, if you were not blessed to be in a good family, obviously you'll be exposed to situations that it becomes unbearable to talk about. One, I can say, find the right people. Mentors comes in different ways, and we are grateful now with social media. There's so much beautiful content on YouTube as well. I mean, with you guys as well, the content that you get out there, the people that you invite to come on board, you know what, find somebody that will speak in your life. And secondly, no matter how difficult it is, never compromise your values.
Ooh.
Strive to excel in everything that you do. For instance, when I was in corporate, like I told you, every second year I get a promotion. Obviously, when you're young and beautiful, the next question would be, did she sleep with the manager? Did she, you know what I mean? And those things do not last, and eventually they will haunt your soul. You will go through the trauma you don't want to experience. And again, when you also have a special relationship with the Lord, be a best friend to your Creator. He will guide your steps. He would, I mean, there's so many 2017 mentors, but you know what? That special relationship with the Lord, he will also guide you to say, for this journey, who's the right person to talk to. For instance, you know, and that would really help you to know which what's the next step. Don't compromise. And also now there's so many organizations that are fighting for these evils spreading in our communities. You find those spaces. And then obviously I cannot speak without leaving out the issue of mental health challenges. There are toll-free numbers. There are organizations where we can talk to somebody. And then above all, I always say the scripture that also inspires me when I'm about to give up is Matthew 5, verse 16. Strive to excel in everything that you do and let your light shine before men so that they can see Christ through you. And when you make that scripture your best friend, because that scripture is really about excellence. You cannot shine, you cannot excel unless you cannot shine unless you excel. And above all, don't do it for you. Do it for the glory of God.
Of
And when
God.
You do it for God, whether you are celebrated or not celebrated, you will keep on showing up and knowing
Definitely.
That I am doing this to glorify God.
Sure. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you and see your work as well?
One of the exciting things about Mrs. South Africa, it has challenged me to be out of my comfort zone. I'm not as active on social media, but I am active. At least there's something happening on Facebook
Yes.
and Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And yes, Facebook, Instagram, and my YouTube, I've launched it long time ago. I left it, but I'm in the process of reviving it as well. So look out for the YouTube. Something will be happening there.
Fantastic. Ma'am, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and your insights and just sharing with us your journey. It truly is an inspirational journey. It has traces of God in it. And I hope that the next 10 years as well, as you go into your law and also midwifery as well, the academy, may God continue to bless you and make all of those happen, enlarge your territory as well.
Thank you so much, Buti. It's such a blessing. And congratulations to you guys as well for the media ministry.
Yes,
I must say, some of us are called in the marketplace ministry, and we get to share this excellent work with the people we meet, you know, just
good.
To share
Thank
the
you.
Link and share the link. Well done.
Thank you
well
so done. Much. We appreciate you. We appreciate you for that. But thank you so much, ma'am.
Awesome, Buti. Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Of course, that was Uma Moctavia talking to us this evening, just giving us a sense of her own journey and what she went through in life. I am encouraged, and I hope that you're encouraged as well.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.